Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. Happy week six, everyone, and happy Green Bay game day. We are all set for Green Bay to take on Arizona at Lambeau Field. But of course, we cannot be ready for game day until we get our Prize Picks selections in for the week. And you can download the Prize Picks app right now and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's a pretty great deal. Now, here are my picks for the game. You can go in any direction that you want to go to. There's a ton of options out there, but here is what I am going with for Green Bay against Arizona. I'm going to start out with Jordan Love. Jordan Love, more than 1.5 touchdowns thrown. I really, truly believe that this is going to be a day where Green Bay's offense gets on track in a significant way. I think we're seeing 30-plus points from Green Bay in this game. And I think Jordan Love is going to be the maestro of this offense. I think he learned from his pick six last week. I think he understands he's got to do a better job of taking care of the football. I think he understands he needs to play within the rhythm and the structure of the offense. And I think you're going to see him be a cold-blooded assassin at quarterback. You're getting Christian Watson back. You're getting Romeo Doubs back. You've got Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs. And this Arizona defense, just quite frankly, is not that good. So when it comes to throwing touchdowns in this game, if the number's 1.5, I am going more than 1.5 touchdowns thrown for Jordan Love, and I feel very confident in that selection. Now, the next one's interesting. I'm going with Jaden Reed, fewer than 7.5 receiving targets. This is an interesting one, but kind of what I just mentioned, right? Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, both expected back for this game. This is one of those situations that we kind of thought of going into the season where, yeah, Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, there might be different parts of the season where individually these guys kind of tear it up, but it could transition at any moment. We've seen through the first month of the season, it was Jaden Reed month. I think with getting everyone back and with teams starting to focus more on taking Jaden Reed away, I think you're going to see the ball get spread out a little bit more, specifically in this game. And maybe Jordan looks to target Romeo Doubs a little bit more to maybe, you know, make him a little happy after the issues that have been going on. So I'm going to say he is below that 7.5 receiving target mark. And I think the other thing at play here too is we've seen Jaden Reed get the ball on reverses. We've seen him get it out of the backfield. So I think that they might be able to get him more than 8 touches in this game. Plus he's a punt returner as well. So there's ways for Jaden Reed to get involved where it's not necessarily, you know, 8 receiving targets. So that's why I'm going less than 7.5 receiving targets for Jaden Reed. Now on Arizona's side, I'm going James Conner more than 70.5 rushing yards. This is going to be a tough task for Green Bay's defense. And let's just be real. If James Conner is under 70.5 rushing yards, this is just a win for Green Bay. So sign me up for that. But I think Green Bay is going to be super focused on containing Kyler Murray and making it so that Kyler Murray doesn't go off both as a passer and as a runner. So I think James Conner is going to be the benefactor of that. And I think he does end up with more than 70.5 rushing yards. And then last but not least, Kyler Murray, more than 1.5 passing touchdown. It's just 1.5 passing touchdown. If he throws one touchdown pass, this one's a win. And as much as I like Green Bay in this game, I like the odds of Kyler Murray throwing at least one touchdown pass in it. So that one to me is a pretty easy one as well. So Jordan Love, more than 1.5 touchdowns thrown. Jaden Reed, less than 7.5 receiving targets. James Conner, more than 70.5 rushing yards. And Kyler Murray, more than 1.5 passing touchdown. Now, of course, as I mentioned, there are a ton of options out there for this game and every other game. So there's no reason not to get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into this all new game day edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, 5-star reviews, tell your friend. We appreciate all the love and support, and thank you for being here today, especially on Packers game day. Before we get started, we have to do, not have to do, but want to do our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this game. And of course, in this one, I'm going chalk, but I'm going Jordan Love. I've said, you know, despite maybe Jordan not quite playing up to Jordan standards, somewhat understandably based on the injuries and things like that, zero concern, not concerned at all. Jordan's going to be great. He's going to have a really good season. Really, truly believe that. But also, it's kind of time to start getting maybe Jordan Love to go to Jordan freaking Love. I'm ready for this offense to take off. I see all the great play calls that Matt LaFleur is making. I am seeing wide receivers open. Now, I don't think this is all on Jordan. Receivers got to run the right routes. We've seen some issues with some of the spacing, right? The Dobbs Musgrave play that gets picked off. Like, it hasn't been perfect from everyone, right? Like, this has to be an offense that gets on the same page. And even with that, by the way, through five games so far, despite it, two games of a backup quarterback, a game on a slippery field, and a game against Minnesota's vaunted defense, everything just feeling a little bit off so far, they're still one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL. But all of that said, we know the ceiling that this offense has. It shouldn't just be predicated on huge plays. They should be able to drive consistently. They should be able to make plays consistently. That starts with Jordan at quarterback. So my Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this one is no other than Jordan Love. Also, great news, huge news, massive news. Luigi's is going to be on sale at all festival food locations in Wisconsin starting on October 16th. So this week, that's going to be amazing. And they're going to be running a promotion on all of their ultra-thin crust pizzas. So you're going to want to check that out. And of course, remember Luigi's Victory Monday. Every single time the Packers win, you have the opportunity to win a case of free frozen pizzas from Luigi's. All you have to do is follow at Packaday Podcast on Twitter, follow Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S-P-I-Z-Z-A, and tweet out Luigi's Victory Monday for your opportunity to win a case of frozen pizzas from Luigi's. Now, before I get to what I'm going to be watching in this game, I have 12 key takeaways in this one, or 12 keys to the game. I do want to talk about the potential inactives. Now, I am going to be fully transparent. I'm recording this very, very early on Saturday morning, so I don't have the ability to see if there were any injury updates, if Rappaport or Schefter tweeted anything out about the injuries, if anyone was moved from questionable to doubtful or out. Didn't get to see any players that were potentially called up from the practice squad or any other transactions. So I'm flying a little bit dark here, but if we're looking at the inactives on Sunday, the four players really to keep an eye on: Jordan Morgan, Christian Watson, Jaire Alexander, and Rashid Walker. So maybe you in the future already have amazing news that all four of these players are playing. That would be great. But if we don't know, if we're going into Sunday with that still being a question mark, then I think those are really the key four to kind of keep an eye on as we get those inactives an hour and a half before game day. All right, that being said, here are my 12 things that I'm going to be watching for in this game. And number one's an interesting one, and that is the weather. Now, we are not talking about the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. We are not talking about some sort of hurricane or monsoon going on, but supposed to be, you know, 40s to 50s with an 80% chance of rain. It's going to be a little on the cooler side, although not necessarily for October in Green Bay, but that 80% chance of rain. And it sounds like it's going to be, or at least have the potential to be, a steady rain. And that could cause some issues in this game. We're first of all talking about a game that is supposed to be, or at least has the potential to be, I think the offense is better than the defense is in this one. And I would normally, in a perfect atmosphere, in a dome or in a clear day, expect these offenses not to win easily, but to sort of dominate, to not, you know, to have the ability to put up points. I would expect this to be the over. I'll just put it that way, right? With it being a rainy day, that can just cause a little bit of chaos. It can make things easier on the defense. Things aren't always as crisp and sharp. Maybe the ball's a little bit wet. Get a few more drops, some more errant passes. That's going to be very interesting to me. Now, maybe it's a light drizzle. Maybe it fades away before kickoff. Those are all factors in this. Maybe the field is a little bit slippery. We've seen Lambeau be slippery in the past when these sort of situations take place. So making sure you have the right cleats. I'm not saying that this necessarily benefits one team or the other. I'm not 1,000,000% saying it's going to be a huge factor, but with it being in the forecast, whether it rains a lot or just drizzles a little or doesn't rain at all, or, you know, those are different factors in this game. So that's the number one thing I'm going to be watching for is A, does it rain? And then B, how much does it affect this game? So that's number one. Number two, and it goes hand in hand with number one a little bit, but it's mistakes. Especially with Green Bay. We have seen this young team be prone to making too many mistakes in just about every game that they've played. And in some of them, they've been able to overcome those mistakes. In other ones, they have not been able to. Thankfully, last week they were able to overcome a pick six. They've overcome a Josh Jacobs red zone fumble the day they have a backup quarterback. Like, they've overcome some of them, but we've seen them in just about every game. So to me, can this be the game that Green Bay gets on the right page, gets on the right side of things, and stops hurting themselves? Stops with the turnovers, the penalties, the missed kicks, the all of it, the drops, the interceptions, the pick six, like, those are the things that they have to cut out. I talked about this on, I believe it was Happy Hour on Friday, but the next step for this team, if they want to be a not just a good team, not a good team with some flashes, not a young team that's showing progress, if they want to be a great team, you've got to go into the playoffs and in all likelihood beat four teams back to back to back to back that are all really good, and you've got to be consistent through those four games. One bad game, and you're done. It's over. You're not winning a Super Bowl. In all likelihood, they're going to have to go wild card, divisional, championship game, Super Bowl. Four straight games. We have not seen one consecutive game of great play from Green Bay. They need to find a way, and this is even against teams like the Titans, the Colts, the Rams, right? So they've got to find a way to put consecutive good games together, good play together, and not beat themselves. To me, this starts in this game today against Arizona. This is the first week that seemingly is more normal. Week one, Brazil international game, going all the way down there, being the first team that's ever, you know, first game that's ever been in Brazil, slippery field, all of that, a little bit off, right? A little bit different. Two games with the backup quarterback, a game with Jordan clearly not 100% and trying to reintegrate him into the offense. And then last week, you sort of had the Romeo Doubs situation in the background, Jordan not quite still himself. This is the week that it feels like, all right, Jordan's full participant. He's back to practice. He looks like himself. The Romeo situation's behind you. You're coming off a win. You're back at home. You've got an opponent that's beatable. This needs to get back to normal. This needs to get to this team, and we need to start seeing now this team play the way that we are expecting them to play. I'm not saying it needs to be a finished product, but I want to see them limit mistakes and really come together and, again, start showing that they can be a much more consistent football team than what we've seen so far. Number three, I talked about this a lot yesterday, but how do the Packers handle Kyler Murray? I'm guessing they're going to want to contain him in the pocket, but that's in and of itself is not good enough. You almost have to have three guys that are containing and one guy that's kind of a dedicated rusher, and that guy needs to get home. I'm sure Arizona is going to do what everyone else is doing and chip these defensive ends and make it really, really difficult for them to get home. There's no easy solution here. We've seen Green Bay be very effective at blitzing. I think you can do some of that, and maybe that's, you know, part of the answer. Maybe you bring Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker and cause chaos in a double A-gap blitz, but maybe you're having, you know, the two ends sort of, you know, just contain, and maybe you're dropping people back into spy. Like, I don't know what the exact answer is. I know that Jeff Hafley is going to have to be creative in how he calls this game. He can't do the same thing over and over. I think you can use Edgerrin Cooper as a spy at times. I think you can use Javon Bullard as a spy at times. I think you could just do a rush where you're just consistently containing the pocket, making sure he's not escaping out of it. I think there's going to be times where you have to legitimately pressure him and blitz him, because he will throw a ball up to be intercepted when he gets pressured. He doesn't really seemingly want to get hit. So there's different things that you're going to have to do. I don't think you can do any one thing over and over and over, but my expectation is that Green Bay plays to contain him in the pocket, makes him try to win from the pocket. But again, that in and of itself isn't good enough, and they're going to have to do a little bit more to get him off his spot, not just off his spot, but get pressure on him and make him uncomfortable. Number four, I said yesterday I would talk about this one more today, the cornerback matchups versus the Cardinals wide receivers. Two really good wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Wilson. I really like Michael Wilson, big physical wide receiver. He can be that guy over the middle. He can box you out a little bit, can be a little bit of a back shoulder fade guy, but he's also a really good route runner. He's got some good run after the catch as well. He's a fun player. Those are the two. And then you got Trey McBride as sort of your other option at tight end as well. But the two wide receivers, first of all, is Jair active? And if so, who does he match up against? Do you want Jair versus Marvin Harrison Jr.? And then if you do, who's going against Michael Wilson, this bigger, physical, good route running wide receiver? Do you go Carrington Valentine to help with that route running? Do you go Eric Stokes to go with, you know, matching up a little bit bigger, more physical than I think what Carrington Valentine is? So I think that's an interesting question. Do you go Jair on Wilson, feeling like, hey, Jair can just shut down Wilson? And then do you go Stokes or Valentine on Harrison and then keep a safety over the top on Harrison to try to limit his big play ability? It's another way to go. You also have to know that Marvin Harrison's going to line up in the slot sometimes. You have to be prepared for that. Who's going to be your slot corner? Is it going to be Keyshawn? Are we going to see more of Javon Bullard? Are we going to see Evan Williams and McKinney at safety? There's a lot of questions as to how they match up. It could just be Jair's going to play left corner. We don't care about what else. Keyshawn and Bullard are going to rotate in the slot. We don't care about anything else. And Stokes and Valentine are going to rotate on the right, and we don't care about anything else. Green Bay might just say, we're going to take whoever is matched up against us, and we're going to try to win that individual matchup. I don't necessarily think that that's the right way to go. I would probably lean towards Nixon in the slot in this one. I would lean towards Jair going with Michael Wilson. I would lean towards Carrington Valentine. I'm even okay with Stokes in this one, but I would probably go Valentine on Marvin Harrison Jr. with somebody like Xavier McKinney or Evan Williams playing over the top on that side of the field a little bit more and being a little bit more focused on that side of the field. That's what I would do. But Jeff Hafley has a lot of options, and kind of like the defensive front, I think you're going to have to mix and match a little bit and throw some different things at Kyler Murray. And you still want to put Xavier McKinney in a position to be a playmaker in this one. Number five. Listen, I said yesterday, I'm ready for this to be done, but there is still a story to be told. A story sounds like, I don't care about a narrative or a story. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting to keep an eye on what goes on with Romeo Doubs in this game. Matt said he's going to play, so he's going to be active. That's one check mark we know. We know he's going to play in this game. But going into week five, he was the most snapped wide receiver we've talked about, right? Most snapped wide receiver and played and ran the most routes on passing plays. There's no number one wide receiver, and he wasn't targeted as a number one wide receiver, but he was sort of, when it came to snaps and routes, the number one guy, the guy that got more opportunity than anyone else. Is that the same? Is he wide receiver five in this game? Is he 4, 3, 2, 1? Where do those snaps rank? Does Jordan Love feel like he has to sort of throw him the ball a little bit more? Does Matt feel like he's got to game plan a few more things for Romeo? Does Romeo have to earn his way back up? Is he going to get more on the run plays and be like, you know what? You're going to go out and block this week. And if you block this week, maybe you'll get the ball more next week. I don't know what tone Matt's trying to set. The one thing I believe is I don't believe Matt is going to spite the game plan to try to teach a lesson. I think the lesson was taught in the one game suspension. And I think that that lesson got through. I really do. So I don't think you need to teach it more. I don't think, like, my point being, if Matt feels like Romeo can help the team and play whatever amount of snaps that he can and be a target in this offense, then don't spite your team and your game plan to be like, oh, this guy's got to learn his way back up and earn his way back up. No, use him. That's what's going to be best for everyone in this game. And I have no doubt about that whatsoever, that Matt will go in that direction. At least that'd be my guess. I would be pretty surprised, because I do think Romeo can help you in this game, especially, again, as of recording this, I don't know if Watson's going to play or not. If Watson can't play, even more you need Romeo Doubs in this one. So again, it's not so much of a narrative or anything like that. I'm just very intrigued to see how they handle Romeo Doubs and what kind of game does he have. You know, it would go a long way in erasing this whole thing if he ended up going out and having a eight catch, 140-yard day and 2 touchdowns. Like, that'd be pretty awesome. If he gets no catches, no yards, no touchdowns, is that going to change the dynamic? I'm very, very hopeful that this is moving in the behind us phase, but this is still an interesting game to keep an eye on for Romeo Doubs. Number six, I always hate when they say, like, it's going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, and they're never on the field together, so it's not really, but you get the point. And this one's similar. Josh Jacobs versus James Conner. Two similar running backs. I think Jacobs is the better version. I think Conner, you know, maybe a slightly more physical, but I don't know. Jacobs is super physical too. So, but they're both physical runners. They can both make you miss from time to time. I think Jacobs is definitely a little bit more agile and a little bit, you know, tougher to bring down, can reverse fields better. I think Jacobs is the better runner, but they're both two physical runners that can get downhill and can make your day miserable if you can't stop the run. So which one of these guys gets going quicker? Which one can the opposing defense stop faster? I think both of these guys are super talented. They're both really fun to watch. They run the ball the right way. They play behind their pads. They finish the runs. They find ways to make creative yardage. They're two, again, very similar running backs, sort of cut from the same cloth. And again, the one that can have the better day, the one that can stay and keep their offense balanced, is going to have a huge leg up. So it's not James Conner versus Josh Jacobs per se. We're not going to see one tackle the other, but which one can have the better day, it's going to be super important in this one. Number seven, can Xavier McKinney do it again? He can't, right? He can't have another interception. I don't know. Kyler Murray. So Kyler's got just a little bit of a hitch in his throw. And we've heard Xavier studies this tape over and over and over. And just any little, if he sees that hitch, he's going to have the ability to maybe jump a route. And he's going to know exactly what's going on. He's going to study the film. He's going to take a great angle. My guess is there's a really good chance that we see Xavier McKinney in a position and an opportunity to make a play. Now, does he hang on? Is there an offensive pass interference that negates it, like to break up the interception? I don't know. Or maybe it's a 50-50 and it falls harmlessly incomplete. But my gut tells me Xavier will be at least in one position to make a play. Can he do it? We will see. But that is certainly a fun story to kind of keep an eye on in this one. Number eight, especially with the rain, the kicking game. You've got Braden Narveson, who has not kicked well at Lambeau so far, who looked a lot better last week. Can he gain that level of consistency? And then you've got Matt Prater, who's questionable in this one. Now, they don't have any other kicker, at least as of recording this, on the roster. So my guess is Matt Prater's going to go in this, but does the injury affect him at all? And again, how do the conditions affect both of these kickers? So big day for both Matt Prater and Braden Narveson. Number nine, Trey McBride. He's a really, really good tight end. He hasn't quite gotten going yet. I think there's a lot more there for him, but they will use him just quick out of breaks. Green Bay likes to drop into their zones, whether they're bringing an extra rusher or just to kind of be safe on some plays. Trey McBride is going to turn around, sit down at 5, 6, 7 yards, and it's going to be easy completion. So I expect Trey McBride to get the ball in this one. I think he has the ability to have a big game. He's got some run after the catch ability, to say the least. So this is a big opportunity for Trey McBride, I think, in this game. And Green Bay is going to have to figure out a way to make sure that, I don't know that you're necessarily going into this saying like, we can't let Trey McBride beat us, but he's a really good tight end and you don't want him to get going and have one of those 8 catch 120 yard days at tight end. Number 10, can Green Bay really get this home field advantage going? I'm not expecting a ton of Cardinals fans at this one. It's a little bit of a bigger trek than some of the other games. It's not like Minnesota or Chicago or Detroit. It's a longer ways away. It's not like Arizona is just like completely tearing it up and they're on this magical season or something. I get Lambeau Field's a destination and everyone wants to go there to watch a game, but can this be the game where we see a lot of green and gold and this crowd can really get into it? I would love to see a legitimate big time home field advantage in this one, with the Packers giving the fans reasons to be super loud and excited in this one. Number 11, third down offense and defense. Both of these teams on offense have been really poor third down efficiency teams. So advantage to the defense in both of these, but if one of these teams can really go out and overachieve when it comes to third downs, or go, you know, 7 of 11 or whatever it might be, if the other one has their normal bad day, that's going to swing this in a significant way. So third downs, watch it. They're issues for both of these teams. I guarantee both of them are working at it a lot, because you don't want to punt the ball away on fourth if you can't get the job done on third. I think both, especially Green Bay, needs to do a better job of getting in more manageable third down situations, but watch for third down in this one. It is going to be a big time stat to keep an eye on, because both teams have been super bad at it offensively so far. And then number 12, I'm going to end where I started. Started with the Luigi's Pizza player to watch is Jordan Love. He is the ultimate key in this one. And like I said, it is time for Jordan to be that dude again. It's time to get this offensive rhythm. I've talked about it the last couple weeks. Let's start seeing this team put it together. They are a very, very talented football team, but it takes everyone. It takes all 11. Matt talks about it all the time. And I want to see that this week, starting with Jordan Love, leading this team, limiting the turnovers, getting the ball out of his hands, not taking sacks, letting the playmakers do the heavy lifting, and then throwing down that Superman cape every once in a while when you need it, but not taking those shots down the field or throwing a ball into harm's way when it's not necessarily needed on a first and 10. Live to see another down if you need to. And then again, put the cape on only when you need it. So want to see Jordan Love and this offense really find their rhythm in this game. So just to recap, weather, mistakes, how the Packers handle Kyler Murray, the cornerback matchups for Green Bay against the Cardinals wide receivers. How does Romeo Doubs respond? Josh Jacobs and James Conner, how, you know, which one gets involved quicker and which one can stay active throughout the course of the game? Can Xavier McKinney do it again? Braden Narveson and Matt Prater in the kicking game. Trey McBride in a potential big game for him. Home field advantage for Green Bay. Third down offense for both teams has been poor. Which one can get it going? And then Jordan Love getting in that rhythm. The line, Packers by 5. My prediction in this one, we'll see if I can nail the score exactly again, second week in a row. Packers 27, Cardinals 23 in this one. I think it's going to be somewhat of a tight game. I would have probably put even more points. The rain is maybe a little bit keeping it down, but I think Packers 27, Cardinals 23. The AI, remember, AI, our offseason AI, is 5-0 so far. They've got the Packers winning in this one. We'll see if they can hopefully go to 6-0. I will hopefully be doing a live post-game show. Don't quote me on it 100%. Like I said, I will be in the stadium, so I don't know what the rest of the day is going to bring, but if I have the opportunity, I'll go live. If not, you will see me and Grant and Perry on Monday morning. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, and B. Brown. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy game day, everyone. But until next time, and as always, and especially on game day, go Pack, go.